Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, the island of Jambudvip, text number 13.
Idam
hi yogeshwara yoganai punam.
Idam hi yogeshwara yoganai punam.
Hiranyagarbha bhagavan jagadayat. Yantakale tvai nirgune mano.
Yantakale tvai nirgune mano.
Bhakya didito shita dushkalevara. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, Master of all mystic yoga, this is the explanation of the yogic process spoken of by Lord Brahma, Hiranyagarbha, who is self-realized. At the time of death, all yogis give up the material body with full detachment simply by placing their minds at your lotus feet. That is the perfection of yoga. Purport, Srila Madhvacharya says, Yasya samyak bhavati jnanam bhakti sthayavacha nischintas tasya moksha yasya sarva papa krito pitu. For one who very seriously practices devotional service during his lifetime, in order to understand the constitutional position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, liberation from this material world is guaranteed, even if he has previously been addicted to sinful habits. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Apichetsu duracharo bhajante mamananyavak sadureva samantavyak samyagvyavyastito hi saha. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is considered saintly because he is properly situated. 9:30. The only purpose of life is to be fully absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna and his form, pastimes, activities, and qualities. If one is able to think of Krishna in this way 24 hours a day, he is already liberated. Srupena vyavyastiti. Whereas materialists are absorbed in material thoughts and activities, devotees, on the contrary, are always absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna and Krishna's activities. Therefore, they are already on the platform of liberation. One has to think of Krishna with full absorption at the time of death, then he will certainly return home back to Godhead without a doubt. Idam hi yogeshwara yoga naipunam hiranyagarbha bhagavan jagadayat yadantakale tvai nirgune mano bhaktya dito hita dushkalevara. O my Lord, Master of all mystic power, of all mystic yoga, this is the explanation of the yogic process spoken of by Lord Brahma, Hiranyagarbha, who is self-realized. At the time of death, all yogis give up the material body with full detachment simply by placing their minds at your lotus feet. That is the perfection of yoga. Mama Vishnu Bhadaya Krishna Pristai Bhadaya Srimati Bhakti Vidanta Swayanta Namane Namaste Sarasatun Deve Gauravani Bacharne Nirvishesha Shrindivari Patsukat Yate Sitarne. Smarta Vyaksaratam Vishnur Vismarta Kati Kinchit Sarva Vidhi Nisebhyasyor Etayor Eva Kankara, that all the rules and regulations are meant to fulfill one rule and regulation. That is, always remember Krishna and never to forget him. So if one can always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna, then naturally all the other rules and regulations will be served by these one rule and regulation. Antakalekam ameva smaran mukva kalevaram yak priyati samadbhavam yati nasyat prasamashaya, that whoever gives up his body at the time of death, remembering me alone, he at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. So how to remember Krishna? It cannot be done mechanically. There's a difference between absorbing one's consciousness in Krishna and mechanically trying to remember Krishna. Although mechanically trying to remember Krishna is also nice, but ultimately, just like the gopis in Vrindavan, they did not have to mechanically remember Krishna. Due to their love for Krishna, they was always thinking of Krishna. But their love for Krishna was not based upon simply sitting around loving Krishna. They were engaged actively in serving Krishna. They churned butter for Krishna. They talk to each other about Krishna. They're always engaged in some kind of service to Krishna. And because they're always serving Krishna, they're always remembering him. And because they're always remembering him and realizing his wonderful qualities, therefore their love for Krishna was developing. Therefore, one has to practice, as it says, Tannama Rupa Charitadi Sukirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasanama Nasinyoja Tishtan Vraje Tanuragi Janugami Halanayat Akilan Itivadesha Sara. That Rupa Goswami has given us the essence of all advice is that one should utilize his full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting about and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, pastimes, etc. And in this way, one should live in Goloka Vrindavan, Braj, and serve Krishna under the guidance of the Lord's devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. And the purport Prabhupada explains very nicely how our minds are more or less in the material world wandering from one place to another to the next. We don't see with our eyes, we see with our ears. They've done experiments where people have cataracts since their birth. When they remove the cataracts, they can't see anything because they can't discriminate one object from the next. So we learn how to discriminate by hearing. First thing we're told is you are this body as soon as we're born, especially in the Western world. As soon as the baby comes forth and immediately they, goo 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 goo, you are that body. So when it's trained up from the time of birth, ahankar, to discriminate himself, this body, from everything else. And then everything is relationship to the body when it's trained up with, this is your mother, this is your father, this is your friends, this is your country, this is yours. You are that body, and these things belong to you. So in this way, one is trained up in a misconception, and one sees simply ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. One sees I and mine, that I am this body, I am the doer of so many things, and these things belong to me. These are all misconceptions. Therefore, one has to be trained with the proper conception. Otherwise, one's mind is always full of all kinds of past, present, and future ideas, which are all based upon the wrong ideas, the wrong conceptions. Therefore, one has to train his mind, sadhya sevaka rupena, that one has to follow a mahajan, someone who has actual knowledge of reality. He has it by experience. Dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena katasapanda. It is not just by theoretical knowledge that one can realize the truth, or simply by sentimental feelings one can realize the truth either. It has to be a combination of hearing and then trying to understand by practical service. Not that we simply hear as a pastime or as a duty, but we don't do anything on the basis of what we're hearing. Then we can go on hearing forever and we won't realize anything. We can go on hearing, but unless we take up something practical, do something practical on the basis of what we're hearing, we won't actually understand what we've heard. Therefore, if we're hearing about the highest, tasmat gurum prabhadyate jignasyu shreya uttama shabde pare trinishnatam brahma upashraya shrayam. If we want the shreya uttama, the highest good, if we want to become nishtam, fixed, then we have to shabda pare trinishnatam, we have to not only hear, but we also have to follow in such a way as we give up all other types of engagements. Sometimes, artificially, there's a class of people, Prabhupada says, known as the Prakriti Sahajis. They want to immediately hear about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis in Vrindavan and imagine that they're actually experiencing something higher. They may get some experience, but it won't be very long. And generally, such Prakriti Sahajis, they mistake, due to their lack of transcendental experience, they're not following the proper process, they eventually imagine that Krishna's pastimes are something like mundane affairs between young boys and young girls, because they haven't really qualified themselves by purifying their consciousness to gradually, step by step, understand the factual, to come to the factual experience of transcendental life. In the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, every verse which deals with the highest state of consciousness is always explained as something progressive. Adau, Shraddha, Tata, Sarasanga, Tya, Vajnakriya, Tya, Narta, Nariti, Syat, Tato, Ruchist, Adau, Shraddha, Tata, Sarasanga, Tya, Vajnakriya, Anarta, Nariti, Syat, Tato, Nishta, Ruchist, Tata, Ata, Shaktis, Tato, Bhavet, Prema, Bhavet, Tata prema da duchati. Sadakanam ayam prema pradurbhave bhavet krama. So pradurbhave bhavet krama means this process has to be taken step by step. It is not that one can jump to the highest platform artificially. First, there has to be some taste, some faith. Some faith that this process works, that it gives practical results, one likes it. Therefore, one becomes attracted to hearing something more. And in the association of devotees, one hears something about the glories of devotional service, the glories of Krishna consciousness. And hearing about the glories of Krishna consciousness, one learns that there's a practical process. And if one follows the process, one can realize the glories of what he's hearing. That's called Vajnakriya. And if one properly executes Vajnakriya, the result is anartha nivritisya. That the anarthas, those unwanted habits and unwanted conceptions that we've cultivated since time immemorial, they gradually disappear. There are 10 offenses against chanting the holy name. There are offenses in seva aparad. There's namaparad, there's anarthas due to past pious and past impious activities. So these aparads, when they're dissipated, then gradually one becomes nishta. He becomes steadily engaged in devotional service. His mind does not wander. Instead, he sees things in terms of Krishna's consciousness. He's able to understand things as they actually are in relation to Krishna. And then by absorbing himself more deeply in devotional service, gradually he comes to the platform of Ruchi, where he enjoys his service, whatever he does. Everything reminds him of Krishna. Everything he does to please Krishna. Therefore, everything becomes Krishna. Whatever he does gives him transcendental happiness. And then when he realizes how nice Krishna is, then he becomes attached to Krishna. So that's asakti. And then by further deepening of that attachment, it turns into real feelings towards Krishna and his devotees, which is called bhava, which matures in prema. So the goal is prema, prema paramartha mahat. Arajyo bhagavan rajesha tanus tadana brindaranam ramne kinchel upasana vrajavidu argena valkalpitaha shrimad bhagavatam pramanam Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumartha Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matam Idam Tatraraya Napara. So, Krishna, as the son of Nanda Maharaj, he's our worshipful object along with his abode, Vrindavan. And there's no better way of worshipping Krishna than the method conceived of by the gopis. Always engage in Krishna's service, always remembering Krishna. And how to learn that process, therefore there's the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the goal is to come to the Prema Pumartha Mahan. So Srimad Bhagavatam is given step by step also in 9 cantos before one comes to the 10th canto. One has to progressively train his mind by following the regular principles of devotional service, especially hearing and chanting. And by hearing and chanting about Krishna and following the regular principles, then gradually some attachment will develop for the name, form, quality, and pastimes of Krishna. When such attachment awakens, then one can spontaneously serve Krishna even without following the regular principles. Although one will continue to follow the same regular principles, but one's remembrance of Krishna will not be dependent upon following the rules and regulations. But if one artificially jumps over the rules and regulations and artificially tries to remember Krishna, then such remembrances will not really be one still may be full of anarthas. And therefore his conceptions about Krishna will simply be material. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has explained, so the first stage is Shravana Dasha, that we should hear especially about Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes, not only in the spiritual world, but in this material world also. If we're tasting water and we can't remember that Krishna is a taste in the water, then how are we going to remember? Then we haven't really advanced that far in Krishna consciousness to be able to understand Krishna's pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. If we can't understand Krishna's pastimes right here in the material world, the things that are going on all around us 24 hours a day, we can't see Krishna 24 hours a day in this material world, and how can we expect to see him in the spiritual world? Krishna is right before us in the form of his energies, in the form of the super soul, in the form of his holy name. If we can't realize that much about Krishna, then how are we going to realize Krishna's activities and his aprakat lila far beyond the range of material senses? So those who want to jump immediately to Krishna's aprakat lila, they're known as prakriti sahajiyas. They take everything very easily. So the first stage is called shravana daksha, hearing about Krishna. Although we may think, well, I've been in the movement for 10 years or whatever, this is too much. I don't want to hear about, you know, Krishna's pastimes here in the material world. I want to jump somewhere, get some other experience. I'm bored. I haven't even realized that I'm not my body. The first verse in the Bhagavad Gita, I haven't had the patience to listen to carefully. Still, I'm identifying myself with the body. Still, when there's hunger and thirst, I think that the world is, you know, coming to an end. But I'm thinking, why should I hear this verse anymore? It's boring. It's boring because we never heard it. It's boring because every time the verse comes up, my mind is distracted by some other thought. So it's boring because I'm on the material platform, and everything's boring on the material platform. But if one can hear that I'm not this body, then there's some progress in devotional service. And one can eventually realize that Krishna is the taste in water, he's the light in the sun and the moon, he's the syllable om in the Vedic mantras, this is the sound in ether, and he's the ability in man. One can begin to see Krishna within this material world progressively. So this is called Shravana Dasha, the stage where one has to cultivate hearing, and then gradually one will come to Varna Dasha. Varna Dasha means one actually begins to experience, one accepts the fact that I'm Krishna's servant, everything here is Krishna's energy, and that comes about by following practically what one has heard. And gradually there's a stage of acceptance. Then there's Smarana Dasha, and there are five stages of progressive Krishna Smarana, known as, in the Nectar of Instruction, it's remembrance, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and finally Samadhi. And in Sanskrit, in the Manasik Shiksha, Raghunath Das Goswami, the Sanskrit is Smaranam, is Dharana, is Dhyana, Anusmriti, and finally Samadhi. So this is possible, this type of meditation is possible if one has already come to the platform where more or less one is able to understand things in relation to Krishna. One is engaged 24 hours a day without any deviation in Krishna's service, and therefore his remembrance of Krishna can be further deepened. So at the stage of smarana, or remembrance. So at that particular stage, there is breaks in one's remembrance of Krishna. One remembers Krishna for some time, and then there's some interval or break. And then after that, one comes to the state of absorption, where there's no break. 24 hours a day, one is remembering Krishna. Not a very easy platform. And then there is expansion of that remembrance at the state of meditation, that one is able to practically visualize the pastimes of Krishna. And then as that becomes constant, it's known as anusmriti, and by unceasing anusmriti, when it becomes complete, the mind becomes completely expanded, one sees nothing but Krishna, and practically one is actually in Goloka Vrindavan, that's known as samadhi. So at that stage, there's sampati das, one realizes his spiritual identity, and he can follow a resident Vrindavan. So this is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's explanation of the verse, sadaka seva rupena, that one in the neophyte or in the sadhana stage, sadhana means while during devotional practices, or in the state of sadhya, when one becomes a perfectly realized soul, he has to choose some resident Vrindavan and follow him. But that doesn't mean that when one is in the sadhana stage, especially Vaidhi Bhakti, he chooses some resident like an eternal liberated servant of Radhatmika Bhakta and tries to artificially pretend that one has become on that stage. No, one has to follow the instructions of a liberated soul, just like Prabhupada explained very carefully how to come to the platform of liberation. So, in this, the sadhakas or the sadhyas like Rupa Goswami who have come here, they've given us the process. Chanting Hare Krishna, offering Krishna prasad, engaging in deity worship. They've given us the process in their books, such as Nectar of Devotion, and they personally followed it also. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is said, Apani Achari Prabhu Jivera Shikaya. He not only preached Krishna consciousness, but he also followed the process himself. It's not that he simply sat in meditation feeling the separation of Radha and Krishna, but he practically demonstrated how to follow the process of sadhana bhakti so that others will also follow the same process themselves. So at the state of sadhana, one should follow a liberated soul, but a liberated soul is performing sadhana because he'll perform the sadhana perfectly. And even when he becomes liberated, generally the liberated soul also, he follows process of sadhana perfectly also, just to set the example for others. That's called acharya. Yadyad acharya shestas tata eve tiro janaha siyat pramanam kurute lokastad anuvartate. But if a so-called acharya, he deviates from the standard practices, then the result is he'll simply create confusion on the path of devotional service. Therefore it says, Smriti Rupa Goswami, our authority, says, Smriti Shruti Smriti Paranadi Pancharashika Vidim Vina Adhyanti Adhaitikya Harira Bhaktir Utpata Yaiva Kalpate. That so-called devotional service, which is not following the authorized scriptures such as the Smriti, the Shruti, the Puranas, the Pancharashika Vidi, simply create disturbance on the path of devotional service. So those who are Prakriti Sahajas, they don't refer consistently to the authorized text. They want to jump, they want to imagine that they've become some superior or higher level of devotional service just by imagination, without following the step-by-step process. So such devotional service is considered unauthorized, and one won't actually come to the proper platform of consciousness. The proper platform of consciousness will be attained by following regular principles progressively, especially hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, understanding in detail the science of Krishna consciousness, and then try to apply it, especially coming to the platform of preaching. Because when we realize that we're Krishna's servants, it's not that we stop there and we think, now I don't have anything to do, now I've realized that I'm Krishna's servant. Just like after hearing Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, Krishna tells him, Sarva Dharma Prachaja, Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja, Aham Pang Sarva Pape Vyo Mokshi Syami Masuchaha. Krishna tells Arjuna to give up all of their engagements and just surrender to him. But he doesn't stop there and say, all right, Arjuna, now give up all other engagements. You don't have anything to do. No, he says, surrender to me. And then he says, idam te na tabaktaya na kadachna, no, idam te na shabaktaya na cha kadachna, idam te na tabaktaya na cha shushu. Idam te nat paskaya nabhaktaya chashushu nabhaktaya kadashina nachat chashushuya shushure vacham nacham mam yobasuyate. Idam te nat paskaya nabhaktaya kadashina nachashushushure vacham nacham mam yobasuyate. That this confidential knowledge cannot be explained to those who are not austere or devoted, or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of it. So it's not that Krishna says, now, I've explained to you this confidential knowledge, now go and tell everyone. Just go and whatever confidential knowledge you have, just, you know, someone walks into the temple and tell them that, you know, I think you're actually a manjur. No, even the confidential knowledge of surrendering to Krishna, Krishna says, should not be arbitrarily told to everyone. One has to learn how to discriminate different levels of devotion, persons on different levels of devotion, and then give them the appropriate philosophy to gradually elevate them to a higher platform. Therefore, and then Krishna says, Ya idam paramam guyam, mad bhakte svabhidashuti, bhakti mayi parankritva, mame vaishakya samshaya. Nachatas man manusheshu kaschid me priyakritamaha bhavita nacha me tasma anyak priyataro bhuvi. Then in this world there is no one more dear to me. Oh, for one who preaches my message to the devotees, devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he'll come back to me. In this world there is no person more dear to me than he, nor will there anyone be more dear. So one who appropriately preaches the message of the Bhagavad Gita, then he becomes very dear to Krishna. And that preaching is not simply by going on preaching, but the best preaching is to actually follow the message also and to engage in preaching and properly preaching the message of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says there's no one more dear to me. So the whole idea is to please Krishna, and then if one pleases Krishna, tries to please Krishna by an authorized process, then naturally one will remember Krishna. And by becoming absorbed in remembering Krishna, one comes to actually experience his identity in relation to Krishna. So that's the process that's given, especially in this age, is hearing about Krishna and then kirtan, preaching, engaging all one's energies in the service of Krishna, and preaching the message. Then the result is one will come to smarana. One will naturally remember Krishna 24 hours a day. Then, this is the perfection of yoga, and at the time of death, when one is actually absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then dhiryastatra namuyati, one will not be disturbed even at the time of death. One who's experienced his identity, one who has entered into his spiritual identity, of course we are our spiritual identity, but one who's realized his spiritual identity, sampati das, when he's come to Sarup City, he realizes his relation with Krishna, then he has no more contact with the material world. He's not at all disturbed by any material activities. Shaknoti haiva yaksho dum prakshari ravi mokshana kama krodo bhavande gamsiyukta sasukina nara. That before giving up this present body, one is able to tolerate the urges of the mind and the senses and check the force of desire and anger. He is well situated. He is a yogi and he is happy in this world. So if we want to become a real yogi, then we have to not only cultivate Krishna consciousness by hearing and chanting about Krishna, but we also have to give up our material desires. Not that I'm maintaining my material desires, my mind is dwelling on sense objects, but at the same time I'm thinking I'm a very advanced transcendentalist. This is according to Bhagavad Gita. Karmendriyani samyamya yaste manasasmaran indriyartan vimudatma nityasharasa uchate. One may externally appear to be engaged in very advanced topics about Krishna, but if within himself he has a material conception, he hasn't really realized who he actually is, he's not engaged factually in Krishna's service, then such activities are called nityasharasa uchate. They're considered to be pretensions. Yastra indriyani manasa niyamya ravitejana karmendriyai karma yoga asakta savishishate. On the other hand, a person who controls the mind and engages the active organs and works the devotion without attachment, he is by far superior. So, not that run away by sense objects and one loses his intelligence. And even when one comes to the professional stage, that will be shown by how perfectly he's engaged in sadhana bhakti. Not that at the professional stage one will give up sadhana. No, at the professional stage, then he becomes even a better servant of Krishna, and he can show the perfect level, he can perfectly show the process by his own example. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. He'll perfectly follow all the rules and regulations of scripture, and he won't deviate from previous authority. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes.
Yeah, the scientists say it's all right to go to the upper Kapalila, provided you have a liberated soul, spiritual master revealing the path and all these. So it's sort of just, it's like the cheaters and the cheated too, isn't it? The people who have that tendency might approach someone, but ultimately it's the person who's teaching them could be classed as a cheater if he's not.
Or ignorant, yeah.
Process.
Yeah. That if he's actually liberated, then that will be shown by his understanding everything fully. And understanding fully means that he won't deviate from previous authorities. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he never discussed Krishna's confidential lila with the gopis publicly, only with 3.5 confidential servants, Ramananda Roy, Srirup Damodar, Sika Mihiti, and Madhavi Devi. Only with those four devotees did he ever discuss Krishna's transcendental pastimes with the gopis or that lila. Even with the Panchatattva he didn't discuss his subjects. Even with the six Goswamis, only he gave some indication of what should be written about it. And with philosophers like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Prakashananda Saraswati, he discussed philosophy. But for people in general, he introduced Harinam Sankirtan and distribution of prasad. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one should follow his example. If one doesn't follow the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he's actually disconnected from the Sampradaya. And if one makes a claim, well, sometimes one will not know what the audience is, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very careful about who the audience was, according to how his activities were and what he discussed. For instance, when he met Ramananda Roy in South India, and he saw that this was Vishakha Gopi, and Ramananda Roy saw this was Krishna himself, they embraced each other. But as soon as the Brahmins came by, the smarter Brahmins, because they were there, and they were becoming confused, therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu controlled himself, seeing the smarter Brahmins were there. So it's not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into such ecstasy that he forgot who he was dealing with. He forgot the audience. But he preached and he acted in such a way as to be appropriate to the time, place, and audience. So one who preaches to persons who are not qualified about a certain level of Krishna's pastimes, this is one of the offenses against the holy name. It's called preaching the glories of the holy name to the unfaithful. Therefore, he must be contaminated by aparad. And if he's contaminated by aparad, therefore he's disqualified from preaching such a high topic. His preaching won't have any real effect in terms of actually purifying the persons he's preaching to. Someone has to be very careful that only after one is free from all anarthas can he actually understand the pastime. Of course, as Prabhupada writes, that even if someone is preaching inappropriately about Krishna, still it's Krishna. So there may be some benefit. But generally what will happen is that the progress, the devotional service of those he's preaching to will be stopped. And sometimes it may even be, one may become an offender against Krishna, thinking his pastime to be material. Arche, Shila Vishnu, Shila Deer, Naraka Buddhi. One will materialize Krishna's name, form, quality, and path, will think it's all material. Yes?
All right. They also criticize this kind of devotees, saying that how can we preach? What have we understood?
We've understood that we should preach. that much we understood. We should preach according to time, place, and circumstance. We should preach what the previous acharyas have actually preached in the same way that they've preached. We shouldn't deviate. So, the potency of the holy name will be there if we simply repeat what the previous acharyas have preached. Because by doing that, we'll actually come into association. First of all, as Bhaktivinoda Thakura has said, he reasons ill who thinks that Vaishnavas die, for thou art living still and sound. That Vaishnavas die to live and living spread the holy name around. So we're preaching to chant Hare Krishna. We're preaching according to what we've been told to preach. So if we do that, then we'll get the benefit. That's called parampara. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarashiyo vidu sakalene ha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. Shubhra once wrote to me, he said, if you simply repeat what you've heard from the spiritual master, that will have its effect, even if the understanding is not there at first. So we may not even completely understand what we're saying. We may not completely even accept it. But if we preach it, then gradually by our hearing it, that others will become purified too. And as we follow it more strictly, then we'll be able to perfectly understand it ourselves. But as long as we repeat exactly what the previous acharyas have said, then the result is that we'll be benefited and everyone else will be benefited too. Yes?
You often wonder what's the practical benefit of they claim to be preachers and they're preaching such high, esoteric, upper kapalila pastimes. How can anyone understand? Like Prabhupada would just keep the simple ABCs.
They can't actually understand it. One can't factually understand Krishna's upper kapalila unless one has spiritual senses. Because it's an exchange of feelings, transcendental emotions. It's actually the exchange of ecstasy. So if one is not feeling ecstasy, transcendental ecstasy, if one is not on the platform of Bhava Bhakti, he won't actually understand what's going on. He'll simply, every time he hears, just like Prabhupada writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is one man who's a barber. And his wife was named Radha. So every time he heard the name of Radha, he remembered his lusty affairs with his wife Radha. So if one is not feeling transcendental ecstasy when he hears these pastimes, then the result is that he'll be thinking of something mundane. Every word he hears will simply, he'll relate it to his mundane experience, because that's all he has, is mundane experience. So he can only understand it from a mundane point of view. But there's a difference, not that we're against, for instance, Prabhupada wrote the Krishna book. So it's not that we're against hearing these pastimes. But they should be heard in the proper way, from the proper source. And one should not imagine himself to be on a level of experience that he's actually not qualified for. One should understand in a humble way his actual position, and therefore he'll be able to develop proper respect towards these pastimes. But if one starts dwelling on some particular rasa, and he imagines himself to be in that rasa, just by his imagination, he doesn't enter into the rasa. It takes proper qualification. Just like by imagination, one cannot become a high court judge. First, he has to qualify himself to become a lawyer. He has to go to school and qualify himself to become a lawyer. And then someday he may become a high court judge. So the desire is nice to become a high court judge, but first, deserve and then desire. So if you're actually deserving, then you'll qualify oneself. So these pastimes, hearing about them, is nice. Prabhupada wrote the Krishna book so that we can get some idea of what the goal is, but not that we should imagine ourselves with the goal when we're simply starting out. Yes?
Has it been appropriate hearing inappropriate subject matters. Is there an appropriate artwork or books or narrations?
Like yeah, sure.
Is there any regulative regulation?
Yeah, any pictures showing intimate pastimes between Radha and Krishna, they're generally made by people who are sahajis.
So we don't keep them?
No, of course not. We don't want to. Otherwise, we'll just think Krishna and the gopis is some mundane affair between young boys and girls. They say, Prabhupada said, they like to see these pictures of Krishna embracing the gopis, but they don't like to see Krishna killing the demons on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. They think, oh, this is a nasty pastime. Krishna was in a bad mood, but he calmed down when he met the gopis. So this is mundane conceptions in spiritual life. Yeah.
As far as seeking one's room, isn't it simple enough to stand the Saraswati? One should act in a way that Krishna reveals himself to you, not that you go chasing him.
Yeah, Prabhupada, as Prabhupada repeated, he said, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said, try and act in such a way that Krishna wants to see you, not that you should just try and see Krishna. So we should try to serve Krishna. And then when Krishna sees our sincere desire to serve him, then he'll reveal himself to us. That's right.
Maharaj, you're saying for the conceptual knowledge and manage of some of it cannot be distributed to
the Indian Vidamte Natapaskaya Nacha Bhaktya Kadachana Nacha Shushushave Vacham Nacha Mam Yoga Suyati. So the different classes are idam te na tapaskaya, for those who are not austere performing tapasya. Idam te na tapaskaya na bhaktaya, for those who are not devotees, kadachana, at any time. Nacha shushushave vacha, nacha mam yogasuyati, or for those who are envious of me. Chashushushave means that those who just want to hear and they don't want to do anything, they're not really interested, they're not devoted. So those who are not austere, those who are not performing tapasya, austerities, those who are not devoted to Krishna, those who are not engaged in devotional service, or to those who are envious of Krishna. There's no sense in explaining right away you have to surrender to Krishna, because they won't do it. They'll just become more envious. So for them, we explain you're not your body. Something like that. We don't start telling them that actually, the first day that people come, we don't say you have to follow all the regular principles and you always have to remember Krishna, you can't forget him, because they don't even know who Krishna is. Yeah. Yeah, if you whimsically change, then what kind of faith do you have? If you act. Well, without any authorization, if one gives up the spiritual master to accept someone else, then what is the reason? It can only be whimsical.
I even heard one of their arguments, I don't know if it's true, but maybe you can confirm that they don't like to hear from Vasudeva Krishna or Krishna in his form as the chariot driver Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. That's not the highest rasa of Krishna in Vrindavan. So that way they skip over the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, they may have so many nonsense things. They think that Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra is different from the Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. They want to differentiate. Of course, there's a difference, but it's simultaneously one indifference. Krishna comes and he speaks appropriately, but they don't understand that they need Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra to actually understand Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, because they're sahajis. They want to skip over Krishna. Therefore, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that the Shiksha Guru is the representative of Krishna. And Krishna, he comes to us as the initiating guru, just like Sanatana Goswami, as Madan Mohan, Vigraha. And as the instructing guru, as Krishna Govinda, Krishna speaking on the battlefield Kurukshetra to Arjuna. He's the instructing spiritual master. So they don't accept Madan Mohan, getting free from all material desires, first. And they don't accept the Shiksha Guru. They don't accept Krishna on the battlefield Kurukshetra speaking to Arjuna. They want to jump to Gopinath in Vrindavan. So they won't get Gopinath, they'll simply get a reflection of Gopinath. They'll just imagine themselves, you know, as elevated personalities, and they'll all get together and tell each other how elevated they are. But it's not authorized. When rejects Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he's gone beyond so-called Krishna. He's gone beyond Sanjaya. Tatcha samsmritya samsmritya sambadam imam adbhutam keshvarjuna punya rishami cha punat punat. And the repeated remembrance of this conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, I'm taking pleasure, being thrilled at every moment. Tascha samsmrita samsmrita rupam adya bhutam hare vishmayam me maharajan rishani cha muhura muhu punak punak. Remembering as well the wonderful form of Krishna, I'm becoming more and more struck with wonder, and I rejoice again and again. So they've gone beyond that, and what are they doing? They're simply sitting around speculating. They're not, we can see by their activities and by their philosophy, that they're not in so much in ecstasy that they've surpassed Bhagavad Gita.